You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, must do, could do, will do, and should do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, you know, I know how you are. You always want to persevere. You don't want to put it off. You don't procrastinate. You get it done. And we love you for it. We really appreciate you for that. And that's what we as a people must collectively do. Yeah, you did it as an individual, and we love you. But we as a people must collectively do that. And some may argue, well, it starts with the individual. Okay. Okay. But let me say this. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire. Collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. We are a collective people. And the sooner we begin to come to understand that, to come to grips with that, yep, I love us for it. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com, blacktalkradionetwork.com, and we come here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All the times are going to give our Eastern times. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives of timeforanawakening.com. When you see podcasts, click on that. When you see African Perspectives, you click on that. And there we have programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Immediately following this program, on Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. The Black People Matrix, Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. In the evening, on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds. From 6 to 8 with Brother Wahad. Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with our good brother, Brother Wahad. Then after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. After that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, Revive. With Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, POC, from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, if it's 8 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., you got it correct. It ain't me, it's Sister POC, Revive. Every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here, Monday through Friday, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. If you are in the Atlanta area, you don't want to go to WeBuyBlack.com. You can, if you're in the Atlanta area, you can come to the Greenbrier Mall, and they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, WeBuyBlack.com, where you can pick up your laundry detergents, deodorants, Slenimus for your body, creams and salves, and all kinds of good stuff right there at We Buy Black. Batteries, toothpaste, toothbrushes, produced by us. Africa for the Africans, Bomani Taimba. Good brother Bomani Taimba, he's getting ready once again to take our people to the motherland next month, November 22nd to December 2nd, South Africa, Johannesburg and Cape Town. Give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Go to the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and check it out. And then later on in December, December 24th or January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana, West Africa. Check him out, for find out about these trips. Also, too, if you want to see photos, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007 of previous tours. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. They have everything you need. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. They got figurines. They got it all. But mostly they got books. The Shrine of the Black Madonna Cultural Center and Bookstore. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They have the red, black, and green shoes, Nagash shoes. They have Kwanzaa kits. Kwanzaa's coming up, and I know you probably need a refill of those candles, those red, black, and green candles. Go to the shrine. They'll have them for you. And then what else? Ah, yes, they have a program every Saturday of Know Thyself, African History class, Know Thyself, from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. here in Atlanta, Know Thyself. And if you can't make that, but you want that information, you can contact the Shrine and get the Multimedia Library, the African History Multimedia Library. Brothers and sisters, it is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. I got 4.5, so you know I need my other 2.5 bad, so I got to get that. Because, I mean, believe me, once you get it, you'll be there for, you know, hours looking over all the things that it has to offer. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right across from the kiosk of We Buy Black, the Medu Bookstore. Believe me, they have a fine collection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gifts, T-shirts, you got it, figurines, you name it. They have it right at the Medu Bookstore, 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Check out the Medu Bookstore. Also, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. My good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, the owner and proprietor of Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Appreciate that, brother. Okay. Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The ULU Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 929-477-2789. Dial 929-477-2789. That is the ULU Thursday night broadcast. Oh, I didn't go to Renoco. Let me go to Renoco. Sometimes I just kind of forget my good brother. But you got to check this out. And you need to look at this today. You need to go to drrenoco.com. drrenoco.com, Dr. Renoco. Go to his website and check out he's going to, in January 21st to February 4th, 2020, Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. That's right. And the trip is only $3,856 for a twin room. That's a person. If you want a single room, you want a room all yourself, and there'll be an additional $680 for that duration of that trip. A special note, they have permission to visit the radiocarbon dating laboratory established by the great historian and scholar, Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop. So you'll be in Senegal with Diop. University is, used to be, the radiocarbon dating lab there at Senegal. And you go to Gambia, where Kunta Kinte is from, the Guinea-Bissau, the village of Jofre, and then, of course, Guinea-Bissau. All three of those places for $3,800 and great accommodations. He is excited about this trip. He's, where is he at? I think he's in Europe right now, checking out some museums. He sent some beautiful pictures back. So check out Brother Renoco. Check him out. Sister Yah, Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. Brothers and sisters, I cannot express how serious the need to support African-centered education. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about today, African-centered education. In fact, the title of today's program is Education for What? Akabin Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute at P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Once again, Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to pay by cash, app, or PayPal, you can do so. The dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, M, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. So, hope you will be able to do that. Sister Yah is getting the Sister Circle this month, October 27th. This Sunday. This Sunday coming up from 5 to 7. It's a $10 registration fee. A registrator via Eventbrite. Go to eventbrite.com and 2019 Sister Circle with Sister Yah. And you can register. You can contact Sister Yah at yahbaruti@yahoo.com. Give her an email. Yahbaruti. Make sure that you register for the Sister Circle, you sisters out there. And the topic is motherhood. Kabuka, November 16th. Remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Brother Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti. And that's going to be at the Sweet Spot. They're here in Atlanta on Metropolitan Parkway. That's November 16th, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Sanjay-Jahiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Aril, Sister Gabby, doing great work in the northeastern part of Haiti in the rural area. Check her out. Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti. She needs to be supported and deserves to be supported. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund. The Black Talk Radio Network Project 2019 Media Fund. We hope you support it. We are honored and privileged to be on Black Talk Radio Network, the number one American African podcast in this country. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Scroll down. On the right, you'll see the gold button for donations. Please click on that and make your contributions. Brother Scotty Reed has been doing an outstanding job. Black Talk Radio Network Project Media Fund. The Yinye Sesim. The Yinye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 19th. In revolution, one wins or dies. Che Guevara. Warriors have no choice. Options are relinquished when we take to the battlefield. There is no negotiation, no need for conversation, dialogue, meetings. We know from the history of who we are dealing with that any of these is a death trap. Peace talks are nothing more than a tactic to lure their enemies into closer range. These people have never spoken with anyone except for the purpose of deception. They have mastered the lie. Hannibal knew this. Nzinga knew this. Dessalines knew this. Warriors must know this or fail. In the same way, we understand that war is between two or more people. Individual personalities and preferences are irrelevant. Warriors have neither the time nor the inclination to slip over into the other side and interview each of these soldiers on their front lines to see who may be amenable to peaceful negotiations or discussions to determine who should and should not be targeted. This is self-serving, individualistic confusion propagated by Europeans so that Africans will be unable to see the forest for the trees, or rather, a people for its individuals. In war, the group, not the individual, is the enemy. All the enemy is the enemy. Warriors must distance themselves from this confusion or become a needless futility. Affirm, I do not negotiate with enemies. Affirm, I do not negotiate with enemies. October 20th. The Egyptian mystery system, like the modern university, was a center of organized culture, and the candidates entered it as the leading source of ancient culture. George G.M. James, Stolen Legacy. In the Kemetic mystery system, there was a basic set of rules that neophytes had to learn and internalize if they were to become living manifestations of God force within. Nothing short of the mystery of these rules would elevate their minds to a level where they could begin to comprehend the multidisciplinary material required for great thinking. This cultivation of the mind, body, and soul requires decades of quality sitting at the feet of those who had already mastered the subject matter and wise in the ways of African people, studying the materials and the universe from which they were systematically gleaned, thinking about what had been learned and what had yet to be refined and corrected, and meditating to still the body and quiet the mind so that the divine thought could freely flow and appease the spirit within, which facilitated intuition. In the end, a master stood in all ways inseparable from his people. He religiously practiced the art of good speech, and always he exhibited good character and all. Excuse me. He religiously practiced the art of good speech, and always he exhibited good character in all facets of life. Affirm, I am a neophyte of the wisdom and the way of African people. Affirm, I am a neophyte in the wisdom and way of African people. October 21st. People are consumed by evil because of keeping close to it, but not because of keeping away from it. Kikuyu proverb. Evil is rewarded in an evil place. And has historical evidence, all that around us today demonstrates European society is an evil society. Man, I love Baba Baruti. You know, I'm serious, y'all. Because he's always on point. And this is what I've said. This is what I'll continue to say. Evil. People use all forms of euphemisms to window dress this apt term. But no matter what name we call it or angle we look at it from, it all boils down to it being what it is, evil. We are only confused or shocked by the immorality and unethicalness when we forget that evil promotes and rewards evil, not goodness. Within evil environment, evil rules. This is the domain, regardless of the delusion of peace and love. In an evil place, evil people thrive. Evil spirits congregate and coalesce. Those who do wrong prosper. In evil places, good people are punished. Only in good places do good prevail. It is only there that good people with genuine good hearts can truly be warm and open to everybody. This land, this space, this society that is dominated by Europeans is not a good place. It is a sick, evil environment. It spreads outward from its polluted center as a plague. We could never build here without first removing this evil. Good and evil cannot peacefully coexist. One or the other will dominate. Warriors must recognize that in Western society, there is only the pretense of a battle between good and evil. Let me repeat. In Western society, there's only a pretense of a battle between good and evil. Here, with them, there is nothing that can prevail but evil. We must find a better way to make the African way prevail. I do not keep the company of evil. I repeat, affirm, I do not keep the company of evil. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I hope you had a great weekend, brothers and sisters. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with D. Best. Always a pleasure. Look forward to other information on the history of our people. Hopefully you had a good chance to know about Henrietta Lacks and the Gila, and the Gila gene that from her body was replicated so many times that even today they're still, you know, as me and her discussed what, even though there's been some things done, buildings and so forth, and, you know, that family, I'm quite sure, has not been properly compensated for the experiments that were done on the family. So that should be rectified. And it rained on Saturday. I didn't get out the house, man. Had a good chance to stay in the house. So, and then yesterday I went by Sister Jackie's and a great group of brothers and sisters. Watch the video, 1619, the 1619 Projects, that is the New York Times Magazine. And I'll say this. If you can go online to get it, go online, go to YouTube. They might have the whole proceedings, you know. And I don't know. The presentation was from those brothers and sisters who are academicians, who are authors, who are poets, and so forth. I don't know. I always like to look at stuff from a hard way, from an African-centered hard way. By that I mean unapologetically African. And, you know, it's like if you talk about what happened in 1619 from an African perspective unapologetically, shit, you might start cussing. Yes, for sure. You might start cussing. I want to talk about education today. And, of course, education, as I said in the title of today's program, Education for What? The whole purpose of education, as Dr. John Henry Clark says, the purpose of education is to teach the person to be a handler of power. The education that we have received has taught us to try to do the best we can so we can get a job, to mimic Caucasians to get a job. We weren't taught, and we didn't express the education that we needed from an African-centered perspective. That's why these African-centered schools, which definitely need to be supported, and not just by the parents that send their children there, because a lot of them don't have it. It needs to be supported by brothers and sisters who do have some wherewithal. It's just like when I was listening to some brothers talk about the ACBUs, where, of course, the Caucasian universities, where a lot of our athletes, our top athletes now go, many of those top athletes, once they make it big, give money back. They may not even graduated from that school, but that school provided them opportunity for them to show their talents on the basketball court or on the football field or any other athletic endeavor. And so they give money back to those schools. But on the ACBU, whether they played ball, and obviously they don't get the notoriety that the big schools get, those big conferences, the five big conferences get. But the brothers and sisters don't give back. That's why, to me, in its totality, from the very beginning of our educational process to the very end of our educational process, it should be controlled by us. Because even HCBUs are not controlled by us. African people in education. I'm going to take an article from my good brother, Dr. Conrad Worrell, in the Crusader newspaper. The Crusader comes out once a week in the Chicago area, the Chicago Crusader. And as you know, I've been reading these columns that I've been reading Dr. Conrad Worrell for, World's World back in the day. Conrad has always a good perspective in African people in education. And I say education for what? In fact, that was one of our National Black United Front themes. In fact, I think we're in Lansing, Michigan, I think we were. And that was the thing, education for what? We must help our youth to redefine the reality of the institutions that affect us. The political behavior of a certain sector of Africans in America, leadership in the educational arena, should cause us to ask the question, what is the real meaning of education? The issue of reparations can help our youth answer this question. In my judgment, the present established Africans in American educational leadership will never help us achieve the kind of self-determining power we need to help liberate us from the oppression of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Education is the process of instilling the values of a society, a group, a nation, a culture. It is this method by which people are taught the relationship to their families, communities, nation, culture, the world. Further, education defines the function of a society and strives to help one become an active participant in the growth and development of a given society, a given nation, a given culture, a given group. It is in this context that we understand that education is an important process in helping a people acquire power for the perpetuation of their interests. He states here, in helping a people acquire power for the perpetuation of their interests. And of course, if you've listened to this program, you know that we just don't throw that word around loosely. We understand what power really is and what power isn't, because power isn't education or information that is provided by Europeans in this setting, because we get no power from that. Education is not money, because the Caucasians about to do a cashless thing pretty soon anyway. So it ain't about paper money. Power is not about politics or voting. We've been voting and we have politics. We have more people in political office today. We have many mayors of cities. We have no power, because power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. That's what power is, the ability to define reality. And when we educate ourselves to that kind of extent, we will define the reality for us and shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests. Power. It should be obvious by now that most African children in America who attend the public schools are not receiving an education. At best, it could be called training. That is, learn the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic. In many instances, this kind of training is occurring on a very minimal basis with African children in America. It is important that we consult one of our great educators, Dr. Carter G. Woodson. in helping to sum up this awesome problem of education that keeps Africans in a constant state of mental captivity. Carter G. Woodson stated in his great book, published in 1933, which is still germane today, that the miseducation of the Negro, the miseducation of the Negro, that the same educational process which inspires and stimulates the oppressor with the thought that he is everything and has accomplished everything worthwhile, depresses and crushes at the same time the spark of genius in the Negro by making him feel that his race does not amount to much and never will measure up to the standards of others. Woodson made it clear that Africans in America educated in this manner are hopelessly a liability to our culture. This is still at the heart of our educational problem today. That's why it's important. That's why education is vitally important. Therefore, our task becomes one of a continued struggle to reconceptualize the mission of education for our people. This reconceptualization must be based on the premise that Woodson set forth when he said, the race will free itself from exploiters just as soon as it decides to. No one else can accomplish this task for the race. It must plan and do for self. We will never acquire real power if this does not happen. Essentially, our mission should be that of establishing our own educational agenda that is based on creating a new educational ethos. This present ethos, or ethos, whichever word you want to use, instills in the African child in America the idea that if you go to school and get an education, you will get a job. We should know by now that this is not necessarily a correlation between going to school and getting a job. It definitely has nothing to do with upliftment of our culture and our people. The task of reconceptualizing a new educational ethos is to understand that the mission of our education should be to make us whole again, as reparations movement is demanding. Making us whole again is a process that defines education in the context of our own political, economic, cultural, and spiritual needs. Ashe. The new educational ethos must rest on the idea that the group interests of our people are more important than those of any individual. Dr. Anderson Thompson, her ancestor, Dr. Andy Thompson, called this the African principle. In other words, the only way we will become liberated and independent is through group thinking and group action, not as individuals. I repeat, the only way we will become liberated and independent is through group thinking and group action, not as individual. We must work to achieve the greatest good for the greatest number. We're not a monolith. Damn it, I wish we were. Because of the fact that we're not a monolith, what do? Divide and conquer. Succinctly stated, our purpose for becoming educated should be one of helping to build a movement to liberate us from the oppression of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, so that we can build a new societal, political, cultural, and economic and spiritual order for ourselves as we struggle to link up with African people around the world. This kind of education must facilitate the re-stimulation of extended African and American family foundation as we struggle to become an economically self-sufficient people who produce, process, distribute, wholesale, retail like everyone else in the world. Finally, this new educational ethos must instill in us the spirit of producing, the spirit of building, the spirit of controlling what we create. Anything short of this will merely mimic the education of our oppressors, and we will continue to be their subjects to do and be whatever they choose for us to be. Brother Conrad Worrell,
Education for what, dear brothers and sisters? Education for what? The whole purpose for us is to educate ourselves and to reclaim, recapture, and restore what has been lost. We understand the cost of education in this society. I wish I had the money to build Baba Baruti and Sister Yah a physical school and then had the opportunity to replicate that school in all the major cities, or particularly where large groups of African people reside in this country, and then ultimately around the world, particularly on the continent. Particularly on the continent. The continent is so messed up. Talking with a brother yesterday, gave him a call. You know, use WhatsApp. I don't know. Some people said this, that, and the other, but man, I haven't received a bill from a call from Africa yet. So, and I've been calling using WhatsApp since the beginning of the year to talk to people in Africa. So, talking with the brother, we're trying to bring a delegation of brothers and sisters in the fire service to Ghana to do some training, give information to help the Ghanaian fire service to give to their people a better level of service. When you look at Ghana, and as a firefighter, I've been all around Ghana, and it's not good if something breaks out because they don't have the equipment. They don't have a lot of hydrants. They don't have a lot of nothing. And they got these tall buildings going up. As I stated a few programs previous, that a lot of these buildings are not being put up by Ghana. They're being put up by Europeans or Asians and so forth. And they're well above, some of them are well above 8-10 stories. And so you need some high-rise training. But you also, if something would happen, even though a lot of these buildings are very modern, of course, with glass and steel and so forth, but the possibilities of fire is always there, and you must prepare for that. So, talking with the brother, he said the chief of Ghanaian Fire Service, and that's a national fire service, not just an area, it's the National Fire Service. He says, well, they have black in their name. Our organization is the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. And he said that our organization is racist. And I was like, really? Stop it. Yeah. So. Yeah. And that just struck me, because I think it's the second time I heard something like that. There is a fear. There is a fear. You know. Of Caucasians. If you ever have an opportunity to go to the motherland, and it's not just Ghana, there are other countries as well. The west of Ghana is Cote d'Ivoire. To the east of Ghana is Togo. To the west of Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, the former prime minister of Cote d'Ivoire, despite all the things that the country needed, a lot of resources and money was to build a big-ass basilica bigger than anything in Europe. I was like, I remember I saw it on 60 Minutes, and even they asked the question, why do this when your country? And I don't remember the answer. I don't give a damn about the answer, because I know what happened to the mind that would make somebody do this. So today we're talking about education and the educational problem that happened to African people on the continent as well as throughout the diaspora and truly here. That's why many of our people can't even think, can't rationalize, can't put into a perspective of the total necessity of us being collective, of us thinking and speaking in our cultural voice, in one cultural voice. We can't fathom that. And particularly here in America, because America espouses individualism. Just like I said, people talk about African people, then first thing somebody said, well, we're not a monolith. You know, we don't all think the same. You know. No, we think the way we've been trained to think. We behave and act in that manner, the way we've been trained. Yeah. So, I know that it's going to be difficult for us. It is going to be difficult for us to make this transition into an educational process that we so desperately need, especially here and elsewhere, because we've been trained by Europeans. And that European training, just like reading those Inye Sesim, brothers and sisters, if you do not understand that this system that we're living in here in America, which is America is the bastion, America is the military arm of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. America is, and what it has shown to the world is that we can co-opt anybody and put them into our system, and they will function. Oh, some will be rewarded and they think because of the reward that they receive for being a loyal person in this system that you have some acceptance. Oh, hell no, you don't. All you're doing is making sure that the system that we created is consistently perpetuated. Thank you. And although you might have received reward, that's just you. What about all our other people? Because see, what happens in this kind of system is that you develop a mindset, well, I got mine, you get yours. And if you don't get yours, I can't, hey man, that's your problem. You know? Because I did me, I'm doing me. I'm doing for me and mine, and to hell with you and yours. I'm doing me. And I love the nice cars. I love to live in this particular area around mostly Caucasians. And I love the job I have. In fact, I'm the only black on my job. And they love me. Education for what? We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this discussion of how important African-centered education is and why we so desperately need it. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. This program is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday and Wednesdays, immediately following this program, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones. Monday evening at 6 p.m., Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad. And then Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. After that, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And on Wednesday from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday at 10 p.m., Warren Ballantyne Show. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And somebody dialed that number, so we're going to take this call, 602-602. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good brother Oshi, brother Marcus here.
Yes, sir, brother Marcus. How are you doing, my good friend?
I'm doing all right, good brother.
Good.
You know, when you made that statement about the black firefighters, and the brother said, "You're racist."
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I laugh, but you know, I come across a lot of our people on the continent with that mentality.
Yeah.
In fact, they'll say some way, so, you know, I don't see color, you know. I don't see color. So I say to them, I say, yeah, well, you may not see color, you know, brother. But when the world look at you, they see color in you.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? So not because you don't see color, mean the other person don't see you.
That's
don't
right.
Don't see color in you. But I realize, you see, the European is very tricky.
Yes, he is. Yes, they are.
Africa. Yes, you see, in Africa, they come with little trinkets and little gifts. You see what I'm saying? And they work behind the scenes. See, so they really don't, especially if they're not coming out of slavery like apartheid, like Namibia or South Africa, then it's harder for them to see, like in West Africa, the young people to actually see the European as their enemy because they are far removed from that experience. So when the European come and they smile and they give them these little trinkets and stuff like that, you know, they oh, these white people are okay, they're good. No. Say, why are you talking like that about black and white? It's not black and white. But you see, when they get the culture shock is when they travel and come to America. That's when they realize, you see, the real shock of their life. See, when they come, like, you know, they experience America for themselves firsthand. They realize, oh, these people ain't so friendly, you know, as we thought they were. You see, so I can realize the dynamics because here in America, we know who this European is.
That's right.
Because we get a firsthand experience from him here. You see, so we are aware of who these people are. But when these Europeans travel out, you see, they put on face, they have a different face, you see, you know, and I have to remind them, say, look, you know, most of your leaders here that, you know, like the Kwame Nkrumah, they studied here in America.
Right. That's right.
Kwame Nkrumah got his indoctrination here in America.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so that's where most of the Africans who are progressive get their mindset from us here in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just want to say this. What the AU have done to the sister, the chairperson of the AU is disgraceful.
Oh, it is a damn disgrace. This sister is speaking out on the truth. And, you know, this just goes to show how ineffective the AU truly is.
Exactly, you know, my brother.
And,
ineffective.
Yes.
And they have another crop of youth leadership that's coming behind these here.
Yeah.
They have another set of Negroes that they're grooming, my brother. I was in that group with them. I was in a WhatsApp. And I had to leave for my own sanity, brother. I had to.
You just couldn't take it out. Yeah, I
couldn't take it no more. I said, I had to get out. I said, these people here, you're grooming to be the next. I said, if we have anything to do with it, they won't make it to see daylight, I swear. You know, it's pathetic, brother. But it shows you what kind of people in that age.
Yeah.
Anyway, good brother. Keep on keeping on.
Well, thank you, Brother Marcus. I appreciate it, man. I'm glad that you listen. I'm glad that you call and contribute. And let me just say this because I appreciate, truly, I really do. Whether one listens to this program or not, I'm going to be on here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And I'm going to give information based upon scholarly research by our scholars, our historians. I'm not giving you my opinion. Because if I gave you my opinion based upon all the stuff we've gone through, you couldn't listen. Because it would be so profanity-laced, I would be going off. So what I try to do, Brother Marcus, I try to give information based on our scholars, our historians, men and women, who without foundation money, without any grant money, they claimed to reclaim, recapture, and restore our history and give us the knowledge to free ourselves so we can truly be independent, self-determining, liberated, and eventually sovereign as a people. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate you listening and contributing, brother.
We appreciate you, good brother. Keep on keeping on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, Brother Marcus, I love when he gives a call. And he has been truly, over these years now, I've been on for quite a few years on Time for an Awakening. Yeah. Black Atlanta, Black Star. I haven't chosen to take anything from them in quite a while, but I got two of them coming up here, you know. And still, Atlanta Black Star is a good source of information. This appeared in Atlanta Black Star in March of 2016. So that was quite a few years ago. Well, not really. Only 3.5. But who's counting? Information is always good no matter when it happened, particularly if you realize that it is just as germane today as it was when it was written 5, 10, 20, 50, 70, 100 years ago or even more. Too many African-centered schools are underfunded and neglected. Why saving these schools should be a priority for African people. We have another caller, 447-447. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Brother Paul, man, I was thinking about you, man. How you been?
Absolutely, Brother Ochi. All the better to hear your voice.
No, you.
How have I been?
Yes.
I've been fantastic. Absolutely.
Good.
You know, you're rolling, swim with the tide. That's what you do. You come up against the waves and you just keep swimming.
That's right, man. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Because at the moment you stop, then you're going to drown. And
that's right.
We don't want to drown.
No.
So that's it.
We're going to keep on keeping on. That's for sure. Yes, sir.
Absolutely, my brother. Yeah, always the better to hear your voice. And like Brother Marcus said, and hello to Brother Marcus and everybody else and all my American family.
Right
and
on.
Canadian family, an African family, and Jamaican family. I have family all around the world.
I know you do. Yeah, you are you're a true international brother, man. That's for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And brother Ochi, man, I tell you what, right? I every day I give thanks for life. Every day I give thanks for life. You know,
that's
my
right.
Parents came to this country from Jamaica when they were young, and we grew up in this country. Some of my family left and went to America. I had the time to spend time with them. Both of them, my dad's got a half brother in Jamaica. When my granddad left Jamaica, went to America. And my mom's got two brothers. And my dad had a brother in Canada. He's passed on now. But yeah, so, you know, I'm fortunate. And through marriage, we have Nigerians in our family on both sides of the family.
Okay.
And we also have Ghanaians in our family through marriage. So
okay.
It's been I've had a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience for life. And I give thanks for life.
Right on.
And it makes me realize another thing, brother Ochi. You know, and this is no fault on anybody who hasn't had a chance to travel, because it's not always easy to travel. But when you do travel and you live among people, it actually wakes you up to the reality. It doesn't give you the hypotheses or the speculation. You actually wake up to the right reality, because sometimes when you hear people talk, it's actually from a hypothetical point of view. They've never actually been and lived with the people. They don't really know the people, but they believe they know the people. And there's a difference between belief and knowledge.
Right.
And I must say this, even the time I spent in America, and I had a lot to say when I came back, a lot to say, I tell you. It was like a culture shock for me, but it was a learning experience. But in reality, when I got the chance to listen to... when the internet came into play and you got the chance to listen to the radio stations and hear the different people in different states, that was another learning process.
Right.
You then realize that what you experienced, like I spent a lot of time in New York, Brooklyn. I spent a lot of time in, my aunt lives in Florida, sometime in Florida, and various other places. But your opinions are based on your experience, your interactions with people. But then, listening to the radio, like WOL, Carl Nelson's show, and your show, Time for Awakening, and all the rest of it, then you realize that I got another learning, because when people phone in from the different states, you realize that there's so much to learn, and every day I'm learning. Every day I'm learning, and,
yes, sir.
And I don't smoke, I don't drink. So this learning thing for me is like a drug.
Right.
Yeah, it's absolutely, elating for me. I just absolutely, and the opportunity to be able to phone and actually interact with some great minds and some really progressive people and callers is another phenomenon. I just love it to death. I tell you, I just so much appreciate, and I just so much appreciate being able to do this.
Right on,
so,
Paul.
Yes. You know.
Yes.
So So we try and so my goal, and I have an experience in law. That's where I cut my teeth, and also IT. I set up an IT business. But in reality, I feel that we have to reach out to our people. We have the opportunity like we never had before. This wasn't possible before.
Right.
So therefore, I feel that I personally have no excuses, and I don't really listen to excuses from people. I give people the opportunity. I say, look, you have to reach out. You know, in order to build relationships, I think you have to reach out and start speaking to people. Brother Ochi, you always hear this, people say, we speak too much. Well, I disagree. I don't think we speak enough of the right thing.
I agree. Because that many people...
conversation here.
Right, because many people say that you always talk. We are still in the talking stage of our liberation. The problem is that constantly that we're being bombarded with noise. People just making noise. We need to hear the talk. What I mean by that, the liberating, conscious talk that helps us put us in the right frame of mind to deal with what we have to deal with no matter where we are on the planet. That's the talk that needs to consistently go on. I agree with you. This ability to speak to you in the UK or Sister Boniswa in Botswana or anywhere else is something that we need to take advantage of. that we need to do more of, you know, because we need to develop the right mindset for African people, no matter where we are, that we're going to be who we are, regardless of where we are, and we're going to come together. We're going to share. We're going to coalesce. We're going to co-op. We're going to, you know, be a people who once again, once we were, who understood our history and our culture, and we respected it, and more importantly, we respected each other. We respected family. We respected women, the elders, and we gave honor and respect to our ancestors. We're going to be that kind of people again. Because why? We have a mechanism that will help spread that information. And because of that, hopefully we'll develop the educational systems that are so desperately needed. Like today I'm talking about education. And what is education for? Well, education, as Dr. John Henry Clark said, should be a method for us to handle power, for us to be able to educate ourselves to run our lives, you know, without anybody's interference, without anybody's input. That's what it should be about. But of course, here in America, we have an educational system that trains us to try to go get a job, to work for Caucasians, that neglects the history of African people and glorifies the evilness that Europeans have done. Of course, you know, you don't become educated to understand the evils, because you believe that they're good, that what they did was a good thing. Those means justified the end of what happened with Europeans. They said, well, yeah, slavery was bad, but hey, look at it. Now, you know, you're not a slave. You're here in America. In fact, I read an article, Paul. This Caucasian said, in fact, you should be thanking us because you are better off here in America from what we have done than many other people around the world. I'm not going to argue if American Africans are better off monetarily or better off, because we're not. And we sure in the hell ain't better off in our mentality, in our mind, in our thinking, and more deeply in our behavior. Because our behavior is atrocious. And I don't know about what happens in the UK, but I'll say about the United States, man, we're probably more fractioned and more divided and exhibited more self-hatred, I think, than a lot of Africans, particularly Africans in the Caribbean might be, or anywhere else, because we thanks, Dr. Rogers. Dr. Rogers has gave me a good thumbs up. Appreciate you. Amen. Do you listen to Dr. Rogers' program on Tuesday evenings? Do you get a chance to listen?
I have, but it's a bit later. I have done. Yes.
Yeah, because
yes.
He comes on at yeah, 8.
Brilliant show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
8. Yeah, and I know that's kind of late for you.
When I get an opportunity, I ring. Can I just say something about the education? Because, you know, let me say this. You see, for me personally, from my research, the land you call America and you refer to as the British or UK is interlinked. That's mm-hmm. how I see it. Let me give you some examples. The star spangled your flag.
Mm-hmm.
Star Spangled Bangle. Yeah?
Right.
Red, white, and blue. The UK flag, red, white, and blue.
Right.
French flag, white, red, white, and blue. Why is that? What does that represent? Well, that represents the East India Trade Company.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who knows about the East India Trade Company, it was the first corporate company to be given a seal by the Queen.
Okay.
Basically, it went round the world and pillaged the world. It used corporatism, which is fascism, to overthrow countries.
Mm-hmm.
It went into India and took control of India and used the poppy fields and turned it into heroin. Mm-hmm. Took it to Hong Kong,
right.
Sold it to the emperors, and mm-hmm. overthrew Hong Kong. The so-called United States of America was the first colony of the UK, the first colony. And I often hear people talk about the founding fathers, but I never hear them mention Sir Francis Drake.
Sir Francis, who would you say?
I find that very unusual.
Because Sir Francis Drake?
Those who know the truth. Yes.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry. Mistake. Sir Francis Bacon. Francis Bacon, not Sir Francis Drake.
Okay.
Yes, sorry. Now, in actual fact, for those who know, he was the actual ones who wrote the blueprint for the founding of America. But I never hear his name mentioned. And why is that? Because he was a 33-degree Mason, and it was a Mason. This was not a religious move about Christianity. It was a Masonic move.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And America has always been controlled by Masons.
Right.
The Scottish Rite and the York Rite. In actual fact, America has the biggest and largest amount of Freemasons per capita anywhere on the planet. But the head is right here in the UK. I don't know if you know that.
Right.
It's a fact. Most of the round table groups are controlled right here from England. Yeah, that's why most of the presidents of America have all been white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. The thing I keep saying is that there's no such language as American. There just isn't. You didn't learn American in school. What you learned was English. Mm-hmm. And that's what you speak. Most of your names are English. And the point I'm trying to make is we need to wake up. We really need to wake up. You talked about education. Are you familiar with the Fabian Society?
No, I'm not. Fabian? No, I'm not.
Okay. The Fabian Society, a group of Zionists that came out of Northern Europe, they're the ones who structured your educational society. The whole template for your education came from Prussia, the war between Prussia and France. The French, many battles between Prussia and France, the French were defeated. And they wanted to know why, them being such a strong force in Europe, how they were able to be defeated by Prussia. And the conclusion they came to is that Prussia, it was their education template. What they were able to do in their schools is create nationalism among the young people, create a nationalistic view. Now, that template was used all over Europe and sown in America, okay? So it was the template of brainwashing. So I'm just saying what you're calling education is not education at all. It's brainwashing and indoctrination.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, give you the proof why it's in brainwashing and indoctrination. You don't speak American. You speak English,
mm-hmm.
okay? And English, if you speak in English, language is part of your culture. That means English has been made part of your culture. Mm-hmm. The language you dream in is called your mother's tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? The language you dream in is called your mother's tongue. So if you're dreaming in English, that means you know who your mother is. So I'm just saying that these people have been using the same indoctrination, brainwashing thing we are calling education. It is not education. It's absolute indoctrination.
That's right.
And that's why we give ourselves Christian names, so-called Christian names. Christian, as we all know, is a form of what I call not supremacy, global white extremism on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they've managed to do that everywhere, not just in this country, in Africa, everywhere they've managed to do that. Even in Nigeria, I know because I have cousins who are both Jamaican and Nigerian, their father's Nigerian, their mother's Jamaican. And I know from them that you're pushed to speak English in Nigeria, English.
Right.
In actual fact, you're looked down on if you try and speak your own traditional language. And this is the indoctrination which goes on the planet. So, you know, how do we break free of this indoctrination? And then I turn over to our brother Franklin Jones because he does a fabulous example of it. By the way, the Fabian Society, most of the founders of the Fabian Society set up the Tavistock Institute.
Okay.
And let me tell you something very present. Let me tell you something very recent what's happened. A nurse took the Tavistock Institute to court. There's two clinics, and both of those clinics today push gender reassignment. They're the only clinics in Great Britain. There's one in North London, and there's one in Leicester, a place called Leicester. And I was reading an article where in one school in there, 17 children with autism are being gender realigned.
Wow.
They're using a drug in the schools.
They have
gender blockers.
Man, they have been pushing this gender realignment.
All right.
Big yes. time.
Right. And it's coming out of the Tavistock Institute. That's where it's coming from. It's coming right from here because they have over 500 different organizations in America. I think it's more, probably 1,000. I'll ask both. Both Franklin don't be able to tell you. They actually are running the whole... They're the ones who created the whole First World War. They're the ones who created the whole Second World War. Before the First World War, they created the plan to overthrow Russia, okay? From the Tavistock Institute. Listen to what I'm telling you. And the same thing has been going on, right? So I always say to my brothers in America, my family, you don't speak American, you speak English, okay? So look at who's controlling things. These people haven't given up nothing. The War of Independence, what you think, because they wrote in the textbooks that, you know, you formed this colony, your colony, and that was it. You took over and became a republic. They've been still, they control it through the Federal Reserve. They control it through the currency.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have control
yes.
over your currency. The Federal
yes.
Reserve is a private company run from here, run from England, the Corporation of London. That's who run it, okay? So, you know, this wave, you know, for those who don't understand these things, they'll continually talk about the flag wave, you know, I'm proudly African-American and all this sort of stuff. And I'm so grateful for programs like yours who are absolutely trying to wake the people up. Because until we identify as who we are, right, until we, they will keep us in this brainwashing mode. We will beg for their education stroke indoctrination. We will beg for it.
That's right.
And we will still remain in the same position because we do not understand this thing they call education is absolute indoctrination. It's absolute brainwashing. And if it wasn't, right, if it wasn't, Brother Ochi, we'd have been able to free ourselves a long
right.
time ago.
Exactly.
Long time.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is
but
something that...
For it. We,
right.
We and coming back to this money thing, let me just explain this money thing, yeah? You got to realize that this thing we're calling money is not money at all in the organic sense of it. It's absolute what it's called, what it really is, it's what's called fiat currency. It's fiat currency. And fiat currency has rules. It's like, for instance, I can't take a soccer ball, as you call it, onto your football field. It's not gonna work. Okay? And that's what we're doing. I can't take my football or soccer ball onto your football because you use a different shaped ball. You have different rules. So fiat currency has its own rules. Right? And in 1971, an American president removed the gold standard. That means that money is based on nothing. It's just paper.
Exactly.
Paper. That's
exactly.
What it is. Right? And therefore, the dollar, which was the only reserve currency, is being challenged now. It's being challenged because people have woken up around the world. And that causes a great problem for those in America because it's really, its wealth has come from its ability to bully the planet and keep the dollar as the reserve currency. Yeah. But how long can you bully people for so long? It's only so long you can bully people and gangster people. It's only so long. So that is the reality of it. And that arm is controlled from here. These people pull the strings
mm-hmm.
with their Zionist interlocutors and interlopers.
Yes.
And that is the reality of our situation. So for those who think they're going to vote their way out of the situation, as you rightly say, Brother Ochi, are absolutely crazy. Because we know that left
that's
and right,
right.
are both wings of the same bird. Yeah?
That's right.
And that's not our solution. That will never be our solution because they don't care for us. How could they care for us by tying chains around our feet and chains around our neck and dragging us out and beating us and murdering us and raping us? You think they just had a change of mind?
No. No. Ever.
So, Brother Ochi, I say that you are absolutely brave. Your program is absolutely on point. In your program, you're not just speaking to your local or international family, national family. You're speaking to international because this is a global problem, Brother Ochi. And please
yes.
never forget that. It's a global problem.
Oh,
this
no.
pattern of behavior is on
no,
the globe.
No, in fact, I make mention of various parts of the world where things are happening to African people. Where the mindset of the European has impressed upon the world, this is the behavior that they want to exhibit. So I talk about that all the time. I surely. Oh, we got another caller. 646-646.
Well, good afternoon to you, Brother Paul, and good afternoon to you, Brother Ochi.
Hey, Jay.
Good afternoon, Brother Jay. Good afternoon.
It's amazing, Ochi, how you could talk about this Negro in the manner in which you do. It seems like we suffer from gatekeeper syndrome. There's always some Negro trying to get you into whiteness more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk nothing about African sovereignty or anything of that nature that's going to liberate you from the oppression of this white man. You know, I had to laugh because your boy Scotty was on Twitter going at it with one of those classic Negro peens, Dr. Jason Johnson. You know, the Negro peen that they put on MSNBC and the other shows talking about politics and all of that. You know, it's just absolutely amazing when you hear these Negroes try to articulate the problems and the struggles of our people. Matter of fact, it's absolutely sickening, in all honesty, because they really have no solutions about how we move forward as a people other than voting for some devil.
Yep.
Or voting for some Negro peen bedwitch like Kamala Harris or some undercover homosexual like Cory Booker. You know what I mean? Or a blatant homosexual like I think it's Buttigieg.
Pete Buttigieg.
Or some other clown, some old fool like Joe Biden, who if you had any cultural sense or intelligence and you understood the history and his relationship with African people for over the last 40 years, it's no way in hell you would vote for that bastard. But see, we don't have that type of self-understanding of who we are as an African and what our position is. We just always looking to be ruled by the daddy. That's all. I mean, come on. You know, it's yeah. Madness. It's absolutely madness. It's no way in God's green earth, as an intelligent African, you could sit down, examine the history of what Joe Biden's relationship has been with black people and vote for him. No way in hell. No way in hell. Everything over the last 40 years, basically, that has come through the legislative system within this country that has been detrimental to the development and growth of African people, that bastard has been in the forefront of it. Now, if I'm lying, I'm flying.
You know, and that's interesting. That's interesting.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah, because that's interesting because I agree with you in looking at Joe Biden's history and some of the things that he has initiated, not necessarily initiated, he supported. Just like, you know, the mass incarceration, how he treated Anita Hill in that hearing for Clarence Thomas. You know,
that right there should upset black women at its earliest.
Yeah.
That right there, black women should never, ever forget. But you know, I'm sorry to say this. Black women suffer from a thing called European Yorugal forgiveness. You see, because if black women really understood the history between the Yorugal and black women, they would never lay down with one of them dogs. But, you know, they like to forgive and forget when it comes down to that,
yeah.
That stuff. And we have never put them in their place in regards to it and vice versa.
And I think
it's absolutely a sickness. You're mentally sick.
And that's why
you think you should lay down with a dog.
And that's why
done that to your ancestors.
And that's why you see, I don't know, Paul, if you see it in the UK, but here in the US, there are multiple. I would venture to say if you watch television in 2 hours, you're going to see at least about 4 or 5 commercials with a American African woman and a Caucasian man. That is consistently promoted. I don't know, do you see a lot of that in the UK, Paul?
Well, let me ask you a question before I answer that, Brother OG. When would you say, from your own observation, that started? What year would you say that started?
I would say it started about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, with Barack Obama's administration, because of the perception that they wanted to give that now that he has been chosen as president. This is a society that is multicultural, a society that is forgiving and so forth like that. That's when I started to see it. It has consistently been proliferating over the years. Like I said, now today, you on multiple channels that you can turn to, particularly commercial channels, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, so forth and so on. that you see commercials for various products with a Caucasian man and an American African woman, some with Caucasian women and their American African men, you know. I mean, there might even be Asians, you know, in that mix as well.
They even got a show with an African, a so-called African woman in a Yorugu, talking trash about African people in America.
It's a program about a Caucasian man who had a heart attack, and the sister works in. She's from Nigeria, and she works at the hospital, and they develop a relationship. She doesn't want it, but he's insistent. You know, that's how the perception.
I've seen it a couple of times. It ain't. Her parents are more insistent. Well, her relatives are more insistent than she is. She just warming up to it. They showing the process on how you warm up to it. That's what's going on. Okay. I've been monitoring it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay. Because okay.
You got to look at what they're doing, because that's that type of acceptance. And they're using the African from the continent to ingratiate us Americans into it. It's a dangerous play at part, bro. And we as a people don't really get it, nor do we understand it. And we don't have the people in place to honestly break it down psychologically like Dr. Amos Wilson and some others would. See, that's our problem. We really need an anthropologist to do a study on the Negro. The Negro really needs to be studied. Seriously. We need an anthropologist to study the maturation of the mental state of the Negro from the time he's been enslaved. Matter of fact, we need to go to the time he's been in existence with the Yoruba. Because something is fundamentally wrong with us as a people. Okay. And we need somebody to study us.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
When I actually first saw it, when I visited Canada, that's when I first noticed it. And that was about 1998, yeah?
Okay.
In 2012, we had the Olympics in this country, London, here, yeah?
Right, in London.
And, if you can imagine, 2012, T2012. But there was a lot of controversy about the advertising sign. People were saying that it read Zion. Yeah, if you can think in your mind 2002, you can turn the two into a Z, mix the letters, the one into an I. And there were certain parts in the advertising where you could read it as Zion. And people were wondering what, you know, who they called them conspiracy theorists, but there was more to it than that. Anyway, that led to a lot of things going on the internet and looking at the advertising companies behind the sign. And then it was realized that, I forget the names of them there, but these advertising companies work globally. Yeah, they work on a global basis. They work in America, Canada, Britain. It's the same companies. Yeah. Now, you can tie that in with Hollywood. Who runs Hollywood? Who created Hollywood? Who runs it? These are the same people. So it's no coincidence. I mean, you've got to understand something, yeah? I keep going back to the same thing, Brother Ochi. One, to solve our problem, one has to think globally.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
if you have been conditioned to think nationally, you're not going to solve these problems.
That's right.
A global problem. It's the same companies.
Yes.
That's why we're
yes.
seeing the same thing. Okay? Right? So what I'm saying is that I forget the name of the advertising companies, but at the time I remember seeing it on the net and seeing them work. Let me give you a link for one of the links in this game. His name is Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch out of Australia.
I don't know if you know this, but Rupert Murdoch had a paper here called The News of the World, yeah?
Right.
And that paper was closed down. Do you know that?
No.
No, they're not going to report that because they control the news in America. They're not going to tell you.
Right.
There was a massive investigation because it was found out that they were bugging people and getting their news by doing all sorts of nefarious means, yeah? All sorts of underhand means, setting people up, bribing people, all kind of mafia tactics they were using. And in the end, yeah, he left and went to America. Listen to what I'm telling you. He left this country because he used to be resident here and went to America. Okay? So if you ask me that question, of course we're getting the same thing because the same people control the same adverts right. and the same news.
Right.
Okay?
It's global. And who you mentioned previously, who really set this up, who really started, it's just like a European Jew named Neil Gabler wrote a book called How the Jews Invented Hollywood. The book is titled An Empire of Their Own. When you look at mass media, it's controlled by European Jews. You know, that's why they're able to do in Israel. And that's why they were able to do all the things they did in the culmination of taking that land from Palestinians in what they now call Israel. And the fact of how they manipulate within media, all sorts of media, you know. So the European Jews, the issue that we need to come to grips with is because we've been trained to believe that, you know, their struggle is our struggle, you know, and we have fought for civil rights together, you know, and nothing could be furthest from the truth. And, you know,
that's right.
You know, well, go ahead.
Well, the Khazars, as they're well known, mm-hmm. who come out of Europe. Yeah. You see, their war has always been, they've always seen, they don't reckon they're Caucasians. You've got to understand this, what went on. In Russia, you had a thing called the Bolshevik Revolution. Yeah?
Yes.
The Bolshevik Revolution.
Sure.
Where they formed this vehicle called communism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With the Chinese use today, communism. And they formed another vehicle called capitalism. And those Bolsheviks were fighting for control of Europe, absolute control of Europe. They were fighting, and they're the ones who initiated the First World War and the Second World War, and they found a refuge in your home called America. That's where they found refuge. And they've built their arm, because we know AIPAC and the rest of them control America.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
We do.
AIPAC.
When you ask that question, do we get the same? Of course we get the same, because it's the same puppet masters.
Go ahead, Jay. You got
same
a comment?
You know, we really better stop playing this game in regards to our relationship with this Jew. Because in all honesty, man, the Jew is one of the most wickedest individuals on the planet when it comes down to his relationship with people of color. And nobody wants to address it, or nobody wants to deal with it. Based on what they're doing with the Palestinian people, what they do over in South Africa, and all around that region of what they so-called call the Middle East, one should be very, very leery of the Jew and always keep them in the target's eye, because they got you in their target eye for elimination. See, and we just don't understand it. That whole thing about the civil rights movement is a past thing. They were part of it, yes, and they used it for their advantage, and then they cast them Negroes aside. Let's just keep it real about that. There is no relationship between blacks and Jews. And if you're using the so-called relationship of Jewish organizations and the NAACP and the Urban League and the rest of us, you can have the bastards. Because them sick Negroes in the NAACP and the Urban League, they ain't worth a damn. Just like them fraternities and sororities. These Negroes ain't worth a damn. They can't even be intelligent enough to move forward and get their own thing. They always looking to get something from the devil. So if you think that they gonna lead us any place, as long as the NAACP and the rest of these organizations been in existence, where the hell have black people gotten at this point in time? We in a worse position than we was 40 years ago. Cut it out.
I hear you. Paul?
Absolutely. You know, Brother Ochi, it's so real. It's so real. You know, I just want to connect a dot here. We were talking about the Tavistock Institute, and I mentioned to you, I read a report in the newspaper just last week about a school 17 of the children. The information was given to the newspaper via a whistleblower, some teacher in the school who couldn't stomach it. 17 children who had autism in one school, and they were put over to for gender realignment. Now, what I'm saying to you, there is evidence to suggest that these vaccines are giving young black boys autism. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Some of us have had vaccines and whatever, but whenever you are, nobody knows what's in these things, and we know that there's a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, no matter what these people tell you. Now, what I'm saying is that we see the evidence here. We've seen the evidence. I've heard people talk about it, even see it in the nurseries, in the school. Some young, the disproportionate amount of young black boys with autism. Now, imagine this, right? They're lining the children up for autism. So, because for me, what autism means, I have an uncle who's severely autistic, and I've really read into this. I'm not a professional. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a medicine person, but I've read. I've got a good logical brain. For me, autism, this is my observation of what autism is. Autism is brain damage. And what it means is that you can't multitask. So you usually find an autistic person is very concentrated and focused on one thing because they can't multitask. You know, they can't, what multitask means. So they're usually very good at something and become expert at it because they can think about that thing alone. But the other side to it, because it is brain damage, it makes the child more susceptible. So when, and there's different levels of autism. So when young children are coming into school with low levels of autism, they are easily suggestible. Now, from my study of the law, and I keep telling people this in this country, Under the Children's Act, it actually says in it, and I scream loudly, but people are not getting what I'm telling them. In the Children's Act 1989, which is law on the statute book, it says you have no right over your children, okay? They have something called Gillett competence.
Wait a minute, Paul. What did you say? There's a law that says to parents...
Look. I studied law, yeah, and I was...
Paul? Hello, Paul? He was about to say something deep and they got cut off. Hang up and call back again. Jay?
Yes, my brother.
Yeah, but Paul was about to say something deep.
As usual, that's what happened when you being monitored by the enemy.
Yeah, well.
You know?
Yeah.
But, hey, Ochi, let me ask you this, man. Have you been to the Tyler Perry studio?
Not inside. I drive by there because I live near it.
It's a big thing, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And has it brought a lot of jobs to the area and built up the community?
Well, it hasn't done that yet, because the community by which Tyler Perry Studios is located is being gentrified. They weren't accepting any tours. Up until the time that, of course, they had the big opening and, of course, the interstate sign or highway sign that leads you to Tyler Perry Studios. You have an exit that once you get off that exit, you're right there at Tyler Perry Studios. So you really couldn't go in and tour it, but maybe that may happen in the future. I don't know, And then, of course,
I heard that a lot of the jobs ain't even union jobs.
They may not be, because this is right to work. They may not be union. That's for sure. Because this is, Georgia's right to work state, And so
I always say people talk about how great, the studio is and all of that. I say it's cool. It's a good thing. But he ain't no real, real serious power player that people make him out to be until he got distribution. Once he get into the distribution game, that takes it to a whole nother level. And I mean, if you study the business model of entertainment in regards to movies and television and that thing, Byron Allen has the best one as far as I'm concerned. But, he married to that white woman, so I give less than a damn about it. But, I mean, if you study the business model on how you should set up your entertainment production company and things of that nature, Byron Allen got the best model. I'm surprised that more people don't follow suit in the manner in which he's been able to do what he's done, because his product is garbage, but his salesmanship of his product is far excellent.
Okay, was that you talking about? You talking about Byron Allen?
Contrast to study.
You talking about Byron Allen?
I mean, owning these
companies is one thing, but what do you produce, particularly in media? If you're owning something and you're still putting out what has been put out previously, so what? You know, like
that's why I say it's really about content and distribution. If Tyler Perry, which I don't think he will get into the distribution game, because he know at that point in time they'll really, really come at him, because then he'll just have too much power. But from what I understand, he's got product going in Atlanta that's constant and continuously. He's bringing a hell of a lot of tax revenue into the state.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
He's giving a lot of it away.
Well, you know, Atlanta has become the Hollywood of the South. And that has been going on for years, even before a couple of decades. So, you know, a lot of the top movies that you see, a lot of them were filmed here in Atlanta, you know.
And of course, Tyler. Even more because of his studio.
Exactly. My point. And so, therefore.
And they say in the acreage that he has and the amount of studio that he has, they say it's bigger than the five biggest studios in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And that right there is deep.
Yeah.
So that right there shows you how much product could be produced by him. And we're not just talking about black content. We're talking about white content too.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm hoping.
It doesn't seem like he's alienated white folks at all.
No, not at all.
I don't think he allows them to control him.
But he parodies them. You know,
right?
He parodies them because just like
cause no permanency,
right?
And pro blackness. But look, Oshie, I know you got to go, man. Listen, enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll try to talk to you later on in the week. Hotep, brother.
Hotep, Jay, thank you so much, my brother. You have a good day too, man. Peace to you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, what Jay is saying, and I'll have to deal with this education thing on Wednesday. I'm going to finish that up because it's important. An African-centered education is the foundation of what we need to establish for us to be the people that we must be again in the future. It is vital. It is necessary. So we'll talk about that again on Wednesday. But getting back to what Jay was saying about Tyler Perry, yes, I would love him to have the consciousness and the courage to produce some things that were, but I mean, you know, he made a replica of the White House in his studio, because he's got a program. I don't know if you've seen it on commercials on BET and so forth, that where it's like a first family or something like that, and a lot of interracial and so forth, or intercultural, how you want to term it. So he's produced that and something else. So we'll see. You know, I would love for us to produce mind-changing, mind-challenging programs that look at us and get us to think in a positive way about ourselves. And also, too, to shed the light on those who have prevented us from thinking clearly and from thinking victoriously, you know? But just as Jay said, we'll see. Just as Paul said, we'll see, you know. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program, African Perspectives, is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, that they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Santisana means thank you. Bivahodio. Bivahodio means our victorious destiny, and we must think and act victoriously. Peace, family. See you on Wednesday.